These last few minutes of our program might just change your life. In 1946, psychologist David Boder traveled to Europe to record interviews with Holocaust survivors. I'm not telling you anything that's new there. Boder's investigations used the latest audio technology of the time to try and document through conversation, and sometimes he would ask people to sing songs they sung through concentration camps and during the Jewish ghettos. Boder passed away in 1961, and 48 of his wire spools were donated to the Cummings Center for the History of Psychology at the University of Akron. But because the most advanced audio technology in the world of the 40s had become utterly obsolete, there was no way to play them. David Baker, executive director of the center in Ohio and a professor of psychology at the university, was haunted by what he suspected was on those spools. Baker and his tech team built an audio time machine to unearth the voice of Gouda Franck, a Holocaust woman interviewed in a refugee camp in Henonville, France, singing in Yiddish and German after 70 years.
We knew we were listening to something powerful. We were listening to the voice of a survivor who sounded strong, and it reflected, even though we didn't know at the time what exactly it meant, it spoke to us of the power of resilience, the power of the human spirit. And that was deepened when we learned more about the meaning of the songs and some context for those songs.
I survived.
I survived, yeah. And I'm here to bear witness and to sing that witness to you.
There's an irony, a chilling irony here. It seems there's so much of a quality of the narrative of the Holocaust, which is the application of technology to death and extermination. This is almost the opposite, the exact opposite of the bringing of technology to people who need help and using it to help them and also learn the limits of human beings.
Yeah. And, you know, in some ways to help us again today, I find it fascinating. Boder was very intentional in what he was doing. He was wanting to, as a Latvian-born Jew himself, he knew some of the suffering and the magnitude of it, and he knew of the plight of Holocaust survivors, of displaced persons. He was very well aware of recording their testimony and of serving witness to history with this new technology. He certainly was using this as data for his work on developing a psychological index of trauma, and he was also very intent on bringing that information and those experiences of those survivors back to America to help educate the public and advocate for immigration for refugees, for displaced persons.
What do we know about Gouda Franck?
Gouda Franck was a young woman, a member of a family in Poland, who when the Nazis invaded, was forced to flee with her family, with her parents or siblings. And they ran from ghetto to ghetto along the way, experiencing all of the deprivations and horrors that I think are hard for us to even imagine. During that journey, family members were murdered, exterminated. And at the end of 4 years, it ended up being Gouda Franck and her sister in a forced labor munitions camp in Częstochowa, Poland. We know this because her sister had written a memoir, and we were able very shortly, with the help of our colleagues at the Holocaust Museum, to receive a copy of her sister's memoir that described their family's experience.
Well, let's hear song number one. She turns the song in a way that speaks to us all. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, we were we discussed this with our colleagues at the Holocaust Museum. They said that that song is a well-known song. It was well-known during the Holocaust and is certainly well-known, is often sung in commemoration ceremonies today. And the song, Our Village is Burning, there were two important bits of new information that this recording from 70 years ago provided. One, Gouda Franck shared with David Boder, before she sang the song, The composer's daughter would sing this in the basements of the Krakow ghetto to inspire the Jews to rebel against the Nazis. She also changed the lyric from "Our village is burning" to "The Jewish people are burning."
Was that done commonly, or is this her doing this?
I'm not sure. It seems like that was her substitution as a firsthand witness, and she saw that. I mean, I'm certain she was witness to that. The burning of villages, the burning of ghettos where uprisings occurred. These are part of her experience and part of her voice. You know, I'm a psychologist. People can listen and judge for themselves, but I certainly hear in that voice a strength of the human spirit.
What do you think Boder believed he learned from his investigations?
You know, looking at his archival record, looking at the materials that are here, I think it confirmed things that Boder already knew, that the plight of survivors of the Holocaust was extreme, that their deprivations were real, unimaginable, unspeakable, but he gave them voice. And it redoubled his efforts when he returned to the United States. He continued to work on the project. He transcribed those interviews. He made copies. There was over 100 interviews, and he deposited a set of those recordings at the Library of Congress. Those are digitized. Those are available through the Illinois Institute of Technology. Has a dedicated website to Boder where you can go and hear the transcripts. You can hear the audio, read the transcripts. He worked to continue this project. He published a book, I Did Not Interview the Dead, which included an excerpt of those interviews. And I believe that was maybe 1951 or 52.
What a gift you've been given here.
What a gift. And a gift that keeps giving. This has given us all pause. We've all kind of had to stop, take a breath, learn more, and we continue to learn more. And that obviously is one of the benefits of archives and history.
Remarkable. David Baker, what a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, you too, John. I appreciate it.
David Baker is the executive director of the Cummings Center for the History of Psychology and professor of psychology at the University of Akron.